The United States is paying closer attention than ever to Africa's problems, and here's one of several reasons. The U.S. gets a growing share of energy from Africa. The Energy Department says Africa could soon provide 8 million barrels of oil a year. That's an amount that would rival Saudi Arabia. Most of it comes from a few countries along Africa's west coast. They're clustered around the Gulf of Guinea. If you imagine a map of Africa, that gulf is the giant notch carved into the continent's west side. You could see that region's growing importance this week when U.S. and African leaders crowded a meeting hall in Washington.
So today I would just say welcome to the Prime Minister of Mauritius, the various heads of state, Senator Lugar.
At the U.S.-Africa Business Summit, African presidents and prime ministers sat down to breakfast with American diplomats and corporate executives. The meeting covered much more than oil, but many of the summit's sponsors were energy firms. Down the hall, U.S. and African officials held a meeting. The sign outside the conference room read, Equatorial Guinea, Opportunities in Oil and Gas. Equatorial Guinea is a nation of 500,000 people. Its Secretary of State for Mines and Hydrocarbons is Gabriel Nguema Lima. He told the meeting that his country was building its energy industry in the same hopeful way that a man built a baseball diamond in the movie Field of Dreams.
And everybody was saying, well, you're very crazy too. But the people came. So again, the movie, there's a very catchphrase. Very sexy. There's something very interesting about the movie. The catchphrase of the movie is that if you build it, they will come. And this is mainly the message of Equatorial Guinea.
They're coming. 2,000 Americans work in that tiny country. There is now direct airline service from Equatorial Guinea to Houston, Texas, the headquarters of Marathon Oil. Marathon sponsored this forum, and after it broke up, company executive Stephen Guidry stepped across the hall to talk.
And, you know, Africa represents the next frontier for oil and gas development. In comparison to the U.S., Gulf of Mexico, onshore U.S., even deep water Gulf of Mexico, the areas that we're currently in are much less mature, which would suggest that the potential for growth there is much greater.
Guidry was sitting in the conference exhibit hall. African nations promoted their business opportunities, and American companies promoted their good works. African paintings hung in the Chevron Texaco booth, artworks for sale in a silent auction to raise money to battle AIDS on the continent. U.S. government officials moved through this conference shaking hands, and afterward we called one of them, Walter Kansteiner, the Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs.
Probably within the next year or two, we'll see nearly 20% of our oil imports coming from west coast of Africa.
20%?
Yep. African oil and the security that is going to be needed around that oil is coming to the fore. It's hard for some folks to realize that we get more oil per day from Angola than we do from Kuwait.
The U.S. government realizes it. The State Department is reopening its embassy in Equatorial Guinea, a building that closed because of budget cuts a decade ago. The U.S. military is working with African militaries, especially in Nigeria, which is Africa's biggest oil producer. When President Bush visits 5 African countries next month, he will highlight many issues, from AIDS to democracy to the war against terrorism. But he will also travel to the oil-producing region in the Gulf of Guinea. He spoke this week at that business conference.
And finally, I'll be going to Nigeria. A multi-ethnic society that is consolidating civilian rule, is developing its vast resources, and it's helping its African neighbors keep the peace.
In the last 2 years, the U.S. military trained and equipped several thousand African soldiers, most of them Nigerian, to enforce the peace in war-torn countries in Africa. One American who's been meeting African officials this week is John Prendergast. He worked in the Clinton administration and now advises a nonprofit called the International Crisis Group. He says the U.S. now has a strategic interest in Africa's wars, including this week's fighting in Liberia.
Although Liberia isn't an oil producer, it's near them. And in Liberia, the president of Liberia, Charles Taylor, has been one of the sources, perhaps the principal source of instability in the region over the last decade. And so this is an opportunity now to finally, once and for all, neutralize him and remove him from the scene. And I think that you'll see it in quite a serious ratcheting up of American engagement in that regard.
U.S. officials have been making a definite effort recently to talk about things other than oil, other priorities inside Africa.
Yeah, I do actually believe that the priorities are higher elsewhere. What we have is this phenomenon of an increased domestic political coalition and interest in the relationship between the U.S. and Africa, this coalition that's developed between American corporations and religious groups and non-governmental organizations and the African-American organizations and the Congressional Black Caucus. You have all of these groups have come together over the last decade to demand that America pay more attention to Africa, and this is working.
John Prendergast says the Bush administration and Congress are focusing on more than oil. They're trying to encourage other industries on a continent where most people live on less than $2 a day.
Most of the benefits of rapid oil development go to into the hands of very few people, and we've seen that dramatically unfold in Angola and Nigeria, the two biggest producers in Africa.
But for now, oil companies remain the biggest U.S. investors in African countries, and that includes the continent's smallest country, Sao Tome and Principe. President Frederico de Meneses is the elected leader of two small islands which have the rights to drill for offshore oil in the Gulf of Guinea.
Well, still some months ago, probably nobody heard about those two islands. Of course, it's true that we are becoming known as one of the next producers of oil.
ExxonMobil now has a drilling contract. And when President de Meneses came to the U.S. for this week's business conference, Chevron Texaco flew him down to inspect oil rigs off Louisiana. It's a lot of attention for a nation whose main export until now was cocoa. In his hotel room yesterday, President de Meneses was relaxing in shirt sleeves. He said he's eager for U.S. oil investment and U.S. military protection.
We are a very tiny island, and we need to be friend of big countries, you know.
Your country is preparing to welcome the oil industry, as we were discussing. I know that that's been a great benefit to a number of countries in the region, but for some, in the point of view of some people, it might be seen as a mixed blessing. For example, in Nigeria, as I'm sure you know, there have been protests against the oil companies and so forth.
Yeah, but you know, oil is always like that. I mean, oil is always seen as a good and a bad product. The discrepancy between those who have more and those who have less, and this can create problems that probably some countries had problems.
The president says he'd like to draft a law that would turn oil revenues into roads and schools. And for that, too, he's seeking American advice. When we met Frederico de Meneses, he was drafting and redrafting a speech. The president of Africa's smallest nation was about to speak at that business conference in a joint appearance with Secretary of State Colin Powell. The United States was missing no chance to tell him that he matters.